96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Island Luck, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Ross Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and Wendy's.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-431. 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also... call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp us on 439-3043. It's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Last night, there was a town hall meeting. I don't know if I'm any clearer on who hosted the town hall meeting, but there was a town hall meeting at which the Prime Minister was in attendance. And was one of the at the town hall meeting. Let me say from the outset, I didn't watch all of it. I saw it in parts. I've heard commentary about it. I've seen clippings of it. And it seems as if there was certainly... an effort to share an understanding of the arbitration ruling on the part of the panelist, in particular, Gregory Moss. From what I garnered, nothing illuminating or revelatory was said, and the panel, the forum went on pretty much, civilly until at one point when the patient and others were making interventions. It got a little ruckus. Anyways, we have with us today the Free National Movement had scheduled a talk today. And we are delighted to have with us Mr. Kwesi Thompson, who is the Shadow Minister of Finance and also the Member of Parliament for East Grand Bahama, a Grand Bahamian, and I suspect he was in attendance at the forum last night. Mr. Thompson, welcome, sir.
Good afternoon, Shivago. Good afternoon, Bahamas. Yes, I was at the... forum. Let me just say it's again a pleasure to be on your show once again. This was a little unexpected, but nevertheless, it is a pleasure always to be on your show. I do have to apologize. I will unfortunately have to leave. I'm just on my way to Nassau. I'm catching a flight, so when the flight is called, then I'm gonna have to pop off. But yes, we were at the PLP rally yesterday.
Why you call it a PLP rally? It was a town hall meeting. Can I ask you a question? Do you know who hosted that town hall meeting?
I have no idea. I have some suspicions, but I have no idea who hosted the meeting. But they called it a town meeting. It was advertised as a town meeting, but it was organized like a PLP rally. The moderator, the music, the everything was set up like a PLP rally. I don't want to dwell on that point, because I think that's less important. What is more important is the discussions that come out of the. What is important is the positions of the political parties and the positions, I believe, that came out of the meeting. It was unfortunate. It was very, very unfortunate that while the leader of the opposition spoke, that he was heckled, politically heckled. That is unfortunate. And the same when I spoke. The same. When Omar Isaac spoke, the same. And to some extent, when David Thompson spoke, the same. And but again, you know, the point that I made that night, the last night, was we should not be arguing about whether someone won or lost. But the case speaks for itself. The government's claim was dismissed, but we should be talking. We should be talking about what.
But before we go there though, what did you take away? I'm not talking about the experience of the forum, but listening to the panelists. What did you take away from the panel what they were trying to say about the reality of the arbitration and its outcome.
I didn't take anything new from any of the panelists. Mm-hmm. What struck me was, and I raised this point as well, where one of the attorneys had said, after the arbitration ruling, it was like a judgment with damages to be assessed. And my question to him was, it has a legal term to it. It has legal consequences for it. You could be held in contempt for not abiding by a judgment. And he characterized it as a judgment with damages to be assessed. And my question to him was, how could you characterize it as a judgment when the claim was dismissed? And so, you know, he gave, I suppose, some response to it. But, you know, I think nothing new, to answer your question, nothing new was taken away from from the arbitration. And ultimately, what I hoped was going to be a discussion about the future, it didn't turn into that. Ultimately, you know, it turned into, well, they got to go back and talk to the Port Authority. They have to go back and negotiate with the Port Authority, which was the position to begin
from
with.
From the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Let me also say, because again, what was raised was this question about. And you would most definitely know this because of the experiences that you've had as a cabinet minister, as someone who lived, represented folks in Grand Bahama, is that those positions that the Port Authority put forward, the positions about customs, about immigration, about licensing, about environment, utilities, they were never accepted, never accepted. In recent years, never accepted by any government. Pinland never accepted it. Prime Minister Pinland never accepted it. Prime Minister Ingram never accepted it. Prime Minister Christie, Prime Minister Minnis, and today's prime minister never accepted those positions that were being put.
The fact that you is the fact that the port felt it necessary to go to the arbitrators to ask for it.
Correct.
Because if it was accepted, there would be no need to ask the arbitrators to look at it.
Exactly. And it was a position that was accepted by the Port Authority in practice and also in writing.
Always.
So they now attempted to bring these positions back and to change the status quo, because the status quo in Freeport was always the government had the right for with respect to immigration. The government dealt with non-Bahamians. You had to get BIA's approval for any in the Freeport area. The same with customs and the utilities.
That might be the only new thing, but only new to the extent that it came before the case got settled in the courts.
Correct. It was a question, and again, both governments agreed to and put in place legislation that put IRCA as being responsible for electricity, utility. Right. So both governments accepted that. We supported it. We supported that legislation. We believed that legislation was effective. And there was a court case. The port brought a court case, or not the port. I believe it was the power company, or I'm not quite sure, but it was either the power company or the port brought a court case challenging that that position.
IRCA, I think, put the matter before the courts.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. And that was an open question because the court had not made a determination with respect to that. The tribunal made a determination with respect to that whole issue, which should resolve that question. But with all those other points, the status quo did not change. Things still remain the same.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. The invite for this town hall meeting was on a flyer that had no host.
Correct.
It indicated that the prime minister had been invited and accepted to attend.
Correct.
The panelists are all known to yourselves. Even their politics is known to yourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Why did the FNM feel it necessary to have its leadership at that level attend the meeting?
Because I thought, and I believe the leader thought, and all of the candidates also agreed with this position, that if there was a town meeting and the town meeting invited the public to be there, that our voice should be there, our views should be there, we should also hear from those persons as well, because it was not advertised. It was not advertised
But if you have a town hall meeting on an issue related to arbitration, seeking to get information, if you see the panel, that it did not include anybody from the Grand Mama Port Authority.
No.
The panel, I mean, with the greatest respect, the panel's political persuasion is fairly, and their positions are fairly known, even if not the politics. For instance, you know, Mr. Gape and the port has had their, you know, tangles.
Publicly.
So in looking at it, you would not have gathered that there would have been a balanced panel on the matter. So in light of that, how do you get really clarification in light of that, though? I mean,
you didn't. I mean, you got folks who agreed that the prime minister took, which again was to be it was to be expected. But again, we thought that, and in this whole discussion a point that needs to be spoken about, and the public should be included in this discussion, and the public should drive this discussion, is what next? We understand that you took the Port Authority to arbitration. We understand the ruling. What next? Because the people of Grand Bahama can't just hold on to a ruling alone. We need to understand what is the plan moving. Really, what was articulated by the leader last
you mean,
night.
You mean what he tried to articulate?
Well, whether he successfully did it in the front of that crowd is up for debates. But nevertheless, he still was able to speak to the public, I believe, as to what the Free National Movement's position is moving forward. He did it press releases last night. He also did it speaking to the press last night. He didn't, in other forums.
And tell us what that position is. Tell us what that position is.
That position is we do not believe that two families should continue to determine what happens with the Grand Bahama Port Authority. We believe that there should be expanded ownership, and that ownership should include the licensees of the Port Authority and those persons who live in Grand Bahama, and that if you have quasi-governmental functions, which the Port Authority has quasi-governmental functions as a result of the Hawksbow Creek Agreement, then you should also have the responsibilities. You should make sure that transparency happens in your dealings, which means we should understand how much money you are collecting, how much money you are spending. And it also means that you should be accountable to the people who you serve. You should be accountable to the licensees. You should be a karma. And the licensees should be the persons who manage what happens at the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And so that is the position. Power should rest with the people. And the leader made this point yesterday, and we agree and support this, that central government ought not to take control in Freeport, but the power of control with respect to the Grand Bahama Port Authority should rest with the people and rest with the licensees, who are quite capable of managing and dealing with their affairs. But it should be done in a transparent and accountable way. And that's what was articulated by the leader. That's what was in the press conference. And that's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about after the arbitration, what next? What happens next? And that's what we were attempting to speak about.
And presumably at some point there's going to be a discussion by yourselves as to how that would come about, how you get to vest an ownership in a private entity away from the private entity without the force of law, the government's flexing its power.
And that question is a very valid and important question. And there are some very, very smart people who are in Grand Bahama, in New Providence, who will guide us through that process as to how that should happen. And the legal means upon which to make that happen.
I'm not a lawyer, but I don't think it's a complicated issue. So, for instance, the PLP administration has already indicated how it feels, and it wants to break the back of the power structure in Freeport.
Yeah.
Well, you're the government, and you got the power in the power.
Yeah.
How else can you vest from a private entity and give it to others or to yourself other than by force of law? Well, how else can it be done?
Unless the people agree
through discussions.
One of those things that I believe that was reinforced, I can't say confirmed, but was reinforced by the tribunal, is that the government is sovereign. we all accepted that, and that the and so if the government and legislature is sovereign, then there are certain things that the government can do, and which we believe should happen is that those powers should be vested in the people. The ownership, the management should be vested in the people.
But Mr. Thompson, sir, I tell you on the show, I like to help people. I help to educate people. You're an attorney. You're a member of parliament. You've been a cabinet minister.
Yeah.
You and I both know the current ownership of the Grand Bahama Port Authority is vested in a private company.
That's true.
To alter the ownership of the private company so that the control of the private company rests with, in quote, the people, either the owners, the current owners, have to give that up. Someone has to make a law.
Yes, to cause it to be done.
There's no other way.
One or two of those ways have to happen.
And the Free National Movement is open. The Free National Movement is open to doing either one of those things.
What I spoke to was the result. Now, how we get there, maybe through any number of ways, including the two that you spoke about. But what I'm saying is we have articulated the result, which is the management and the governance. And the management of the powers of the Port Authority should rest with the people and the licensees of the Port Authority.
But my own experience in government and with government is that where the public finds the greatest frustration is that the desired outcomes are clear and desirable.
Yeah.
But the path to get there is oftentimes so understated by the policymakers that when they get to government, they are incapable of doing what they sought to do because they may not have properly put weight on the degree of the how.
The process of getting there.
And let's concede though, it is not a light matter for a government to decide I'm going to take the private ownership of something and vest it elsewhere against the wishes of the ownership.
Correct. No, it is a very serious matter to attempt to acquire of a private company. But again, the private company in this case has quasi-governmental functions. And that is, I think, a distinction that is made with other private companies.
I've heard legal arguments to the contrary. We call it quasi-government, but like take the licensing feature as an example. There are those who say the port's licensing authority comes from its private holding of the land on which people would like to do business. It's no different than you want to sell hot dogs on my land, where you have to get my permission. It's not that I'm not the government, but you want to do something on my land. And so I say, okay, yes, you can do it, but you got to pay me $100 a month to do it. That happens all the time on private properties. The port doesn't tax. The port doesn't, other than the regulation, which you now taken away from them.
Shivago, I win this discussion.
I understand. Safe travels. I should come back, and if you wish to vet it some more, I'm happy to do that.
Because it is a productive conversation that needs to happen. And so, yes, absolutely. But I do apologize.
Safe travels.
Thank you very much, my brother.
Mr. Kwesi Thompson. Member of Parliament for East Grand Bahama and candidate for East Grand Bahama, former Minister of State for Finance. Thank you, sir. I'm reading, someone sent me a Facebook post under the caption of the Prime Minister, Philip Brave Davis, posted 5 hours ago. And this is how it starts. Last night in Grand Bahama, we held an important town hall conversation about what comes next for Freeport and the entire island. We held. So I guess you know who held the meeting. We held. Mr. Thompson says that it wasn't about what's next. I don't know if anybody else has gathered from the town hall meeting what's next. Maybe you could help us. This text is Mr. Lang. Gregory Moss also has a very contentious history with the GPPA. Yes, GPPA, yes. Yeah. A lot of people do, actually. The port has not been. By the way, someone sent me from Jamaica a caption of a story in the Jamaica Observer. This is what the caption says. Bahamas government defeated in mega lawsuit against Port Authority. And they said, the text says, in Jamaica, they know the time. It's only here that people get confused. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Galang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
Hey, Nassau. Get ready to Krispy King at Burger King. Two 100% flame-grilled patties stacked with that irresistible onion crunch you love. Smoky barbecue sauce, crisp bacon, and melted cheddar all on a buttery brioche bun. Mmm. Crunch, bacon, cheese, flame-grilled flavor. Swing by any of Burger King's 6 Nassau locations and taste the new barbecue Krispy King today. Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Join the Ultra! Lineups are here, and it's ultra fast. Start winning from your phone. Sign up online in minutes and jump straight into the action at ultragames.com. And right now, when you sign up online, you're entered for a chance to win a car. That's right, a car.
Okay.
No long lines, no stress. Just click, sign up, and start playing. Ultra Games, unleash your luck. Must be 18 or older. Ultra Games reminds you it's only a game. Please game responsibly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5714 224-7796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. The person who sent me the this Bahamas government defeated in mega lawsuit report, I mean, article from the Jamaica Gleaner, said that it seems like in Jamaica people know what time it is, but that in the Bahamas we might be confused. Well, if you read the entire caption of this story, It says a multi-million dollar lawsuit filed by the Bahamian government against Grand Bahama Port Authority has been dismissed by an international arbitration panel in what has been described as a landmark decision that could significantly shape the country's economic future. I don't know who did the describing. Who did? Somebody say I said the Observer. It is the Jamaica Observer. What else? Did I say something different than that? It's the Jamaica Observer, the news, right? I don't know who did the describing that this could significant the country's economic future. I'd love to see how that reading happened. Like, what about this ruling could shape the economic future? What did the arbitrators rule that could have such significant import on the economic future of the Bahamas? Hell no. That's not true. that's not true. I don't see that at all. I don't see that at all. Maybe I'm just not bright enough, but I don't see that at all. But that's what somebody thinks. And the Jamaica Observer picked it up. The Jamaica Observer. Did I say Gleaner? No. This says, good afternoon. Why is the government so hell-bent on taking over the port at this juncture? You know, that's a very good question. Honestly, I mean, like, I'm not even making a very good question. Now, let me be honest with you. I have information. I have information that I am following up on. But that question right there, if you are a journalist in the Bahamas, if you are a investigative reporter in the Bahamas, that question is a question that should be doggedly pursued. The personalities involved with this, some are in the media and some are in the public, some are not. There are personalities that are involved with this, whose circumstances are well known to some of us, but they are not upfront in this scenario. But that question right there, I want the texter to know. You are not asking a light or irrelevant question. You are asking a pivotal question. Pivotal question. Pivotal question. That's all I say. It's a very important question. This text is IZ, shaking my head on the road. Guess it wasn't an invite after all, eh? Well, let me read. I can read the whole. The whole posting that is attributed to the PM. The whole posting that's attributed to the PM. It says it's the whole. So last night, in Grand Bahama, we held an important town hall conversation about what comes next for Freeport and the entire island. After the tribunal's ruling, the balance of power shifted. The balance of power shifted. The government of the Bahamas governs in Freeport. And the era of uncertainty about who has authority is coming to an end. Wow. Wow. This is incredible. This clarity creates a foundation for new investment, stronger regulation, and real opportunity for the people of Grand Bahama. But this moment is not just about a legal decision. It's about the future we can build together. Grand Bahama has the harbor, the land, the workforce, the proximity to the United States to become a major logistics, industrial, and economic hub. What has been missing for too long is a governance structure that works in the public's interest. I am grateful to the business owners, licensees, workers, and residents who joined the conversation and shared their perspectives. The resilience of the people is the island's greatest strength. Now the focus turns to partnership as we work together to build the next chapter for Grand Bahama. Wow. Wow. That is stunning. Wow. 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 I'm going to be honest with y'all. Maybe y'all detect this over the series of years I've been doing the show, right? But I rarely have a challenge with what I regard as See, I know that many, many members of the Bahamian society don't have the time, the energy, or the effort to study what is happening in the country in the way of governance and other things. And more often than not, they are takers of the pronouncements of us all. It is possible, in light of that, to take advantage of this asymmetry. It's asymmetry that exists between what one could know or knows and what the public could know and knows. A great asymmetry, meaning you have much more information than the public does, which is one of the reasons why I have tried on the show to open up the corridors of governmental knowledge, and share even some insider kind of knowledge to help people understand, appreciate the inner workings. And it bothers me. It bothers me when I hear things uttered that I know those who utter them know better. I know politics when I see it, and I'm not. Politics doesn't bother me because politics is politics and you're going to spin, you're going to do stuff, right? But there's a difference between politics, spin, and misinformation. And it bothers me. It really bothers me. Sometimes some of the things I hear. Because hope deferred makes the heart sick, says the scriptures. You hold out this notion as an example. I'm giving an example. You hold this notion out that this ruling created some new power dynamic in Freeport. It does not. I dare the government of the Bahamas, for instance, to do one new thing it could do today that it couldn't do yesterday. One new thing. Tell the port what to do. Make the port do something. One new thing today. Other than, y'all stop regulating the grandmama power company and talking about you to regulate another grandmama power company. Needs to go whatever they want to increase the price. Go to ERCA and change the price. Well, BPL have to go to ERCA to change the price. And how has that worked out for the price of power in Nassau? One new thing. I want somebody to name me one new thing the government could go and direct the port to do today that it hasn't directed the port to do yesterday. For instance, you cannot license anybody, any foreign entity without my permission. Well, you couldn't do it before. That's why some of the port applicants are sitting now waiting on an approval from the government. That ain't just happened. That's been happening for a little while. What power structure, what has the arbitration ruling created in the Bahamas? I'm asking the question. I'm asking that question. I'd like somebody to put that to me, put the answer to me. One, what new power structure in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? The government is the government of the Bahamas, period. Makes laws, passes laws, enforces laws. And so the court authority can only do anything it does in law. I dare the court authority to try to do one single thing that the law does not permit it to do. Today, I asked the St. George's and the Haywards and Ray Ian Roll, do one thing in Freeport that the law does not permit you to do. And watch and see what happens. Try it. You already tried it. You said, we're the regulators for the power company. Well, you see what the government just did. Well, what you just did, you went and asked, and the arbitrator said, no, you're not. And now, go try and regulate the power company then and see what happens. What? I mean, seriously, like, so the impression that you might get as a resident of Grand Bahama, as a person in New Providence in the Bahamas, that the government of Bahamas now has some new power that it could exercise over Freeport, I would love somebody to demonstrate that power. Demonstrate it. Don't just talk. The government is the government today. You want change. The government wants change. The prime minister said he wants things to change. Well, you just said last night, there's a new power structure. Go and exercise it. Go and exercise it. You say that people owe you money? There's a new power structure. Let's not talk. Let's do it. Show the power. Show the structure. Show it. It doesn't make sense. The FNM is saying they think something should change. They don't think two families should determine things at the port. The licensee should do that. And you can do it outside of changing the law or using the law to do it. And it ain't complicated. And with the greatest respect, no matter how many smart people exist out there, you can't do that without the law or the agreement of the owners of the port. It's not happening. Even the law itself says how the Hawksbury Creek changed. The port, the government, and the licensees have to agree it. Or the government goes in parliament and says, the hell with all of that. This law no longer obtains. And whatever consequences flow, flow. We are not going to have another day where either parties are simply putting out stuff there that gives people hope that at the end of the day results in nothing. That does not make sense. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, sir. Good day.
Hey, what's up?
All right, man. See, I listened to the entire town hall, right? And what Greg Morse did, right? He presented a paper himself that he did with all the index, right? What he did was he says that he showed where the last page was not the only judgment made. You see, there were judgments throughout. You understand me? Some of the judgments was that the party read it. From not his view, from the judgment itself, that the port is owed, that the government is owed, but the legal fees and all that they have to pay. You understand me? As well as you know, other things. You understand what I'm saying? So the government, the port is liable to pay them, and even the part where the government that the port won. You know, there's no liability for it from the government, even though they have won. All the government has to do is the port has to do is submit a thing for to accept or deny.
When it comes to, like you say, the
government could do anything in this, but it has to say the government the port still owns this land until 2055, right?
We have to go to break. We have to go to lunch. To the news break. Sorry, we have to. But when we come back at the end of the show, after the news break, we'll continue our conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Willang, your host. We'll be back. after the news break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Wendy's has brand new chicken tenders,
and they're everything you've been craving.
Crispy, juicy,
and seasoned just right.
These tenders bring the flavor from the very first bite.
Dip them,
dunk them,
love them
with sauces like sweet chili,
scorching hot,
ranch,
honey barbecue,
honey mustard,
and Wendy's signature sauce.
Grab them as a kid's meal,
enjoy them on their own,
or make it a combo
that hits the spot
every time.
For tenders you're gonna know by name,
it's gotta be Wendy's.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The following is a paid political message. That was a paid political message.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I understand we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, sir. Continuing on, right? The government, like we're saying, the government could do anything it wants. The government could cancel the hospital peace agreement, but it will have to compensate them. You know what I'm saying, for the value of the land that they are still holding that they have not sold. You notice when the government, when the project that's going on in the port now, in Port Lucaya, see, this was private land that's not, you know, that was sold by the port, right? So they could do anything with private land. At least they could make deals with ask the private owners to sell it to them. That, you know what I'm saying? At least the government has bought that land anyway, like they could do the same to any private land and stuff.
Just a minute. When you came on, you indicated that Gregory Moss was reading from other judgments that exist in the document. now, right. let me be clear. That's not true. There are the arbitrators held discussions about things and may have opined on things.
Right.
The judgment is in the conclusion. And in the conclusion, they talk about the port and the government going to discuss the dam, et cetera. So nothing that isn't in the meat of the ruling is not reflected in the conclusion. If you do that, you have an inadequate conclusion.
So this is the bone of contention that Greg Morris, Crazy Thompson had with the panel.
Absolutely, because
the panel was wrong. In fact, Greg Morris is the one that really dealt into the judgment. The other on the panel.
But you would agree that a judgment that which concluding remarks does not include all of the judgment is a deficient judgment.
Well, you know, like I say, what I see is right. What I believe is that I would have to read that personally, like you know what I'm saying, and you would have to read it. I don't know. Have you read?
Me, I read it. I read it for you on the show.
Right.
I read the whole conclusion.
That's the bone of contention. But you know, and as well as you know, when we talk about they you know, the Prime Minister talk about them divesting themselves of the money making assets. Or that they had, right? And, you know, I look at that and I say, man, you know, what our government is doing the same thing. They're divesting themselves of, you know, privatizing, you know what I'm saying, the money-making assets. And, you know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You see, so that's like the port calling the port block. You see, so... Man,
that's a good point.
You see? Anyway, thank you.
This text bothers me tremendously as well. Lots of misinformation. This says... we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, how you doing?
Right there, man. What's up?
Boy, a couple things. I was very intently listening to the town hall meeting last night. Mm-hmm. But one of the key things that apparently stand out, and I think the Port Authority put their foot in their own mouth, and this became a more drawn-out situation. They even showed... there's some of the effects of what is going on and what they thought they had certain permission to do and all this other thing. What I'm talking about is this. One of the key things that stand up to me is that by the selling off of various parts of the Port Authority, based on the original agreement in the hospital agreement, they would have lessened their ability and their power to regulate and do certain things that they could have done, but apparently they didn't even know by selling off certain assets that they have weakened their position. And based on the report, it would seem as though that the Port Authority organization in itself is dissolvent. And
based on what report?
Based on what is actually in the report that was issued by the tribunal. And
the tribunal opined that the port was bankrupt?
It says solvency on paper based on the fact that they had that they'd sold out all of the critical assets.
No, I don't think you could conclude that.
Conclude that. So, I mean, I wish that you can replay it and you'll see it and you'll hear, as well as see it in documentation,
I've read the ruling does not say that the port is insolvent, nor does it say it's bankrupt. Does not say that.
Based on one of the requirement structures that they had listed, and the tribunal brought up a point where it said that based on the fact that they'd sold out all of, I mean, specifics, that it seemed that they were book broke.
No, well,
check it out, please. I encourage you, please. Don't take my word for it. Check it out.
Okay. All right. No problems. I don't know what the status of the port's financial situation is. I do not. I don't think the port is in great financial shape. I don't believe that. But solvency, just because you sell out money-making assets, doesn't mean that you become insolvent. And even if the tribunal came to that conclusion, I don't even understand why they would do so. Solvency is a matter of looking at people's assets, liabilities, looking at their income streams, looking at their expenditures, and looking at their ability to continue to be a going concern. And so unless you're having them kind of discussions with me and you're giving me itemized financials, I don't care what the tribunal said, you say it said. That's not how you conclude the solvency. The government of the Bahamas runs an overdraft facility at its maximum. The government of the Bahamas cannot today pay some of its vendors the monies it owes. Is the government of the Bahamas insolvent? Oh, man. I keep telling you guys sometimes when you're talking about these things, like, just remember some of us have some, not every, not all, but some knowledge of this stuff. Your own government, I could promise you right now today, has people it owes that it has not paid. Has not paid. You call the government insolvent? No, because the government has future revenue streams that will be able to take care of part, if not all of it. So I don't think that that's a fair reading things. Is the port in great financial shape? I don't think so. But the revenue earning streams of the ones that the port sold off, they were sold off a long time ago. And in fact, I think most of them were sold under the pending administration. And there was a point in time when 7% of the port used to be owned by the government of the Bahamas. Used to be owned by the government of the Bahamas. It no longer does so. What did the government of the Bahamas do with it? Right? So I don't know. But the issue of solvency. I caught up in too many fringe, tangential matters that really at the end of the day are nothing but politics. Whether it's the government or the opposition, the casting of much of this stuff is a matter of politics. And I told you that. I told you we have an election coming up. You don't be angry with politicians because they do what politicians do, which is strive hard to win office, strive hard to keep office. But we allow ourselves to get caught up in tangential matters, fringe matters, nuance matters. We have people who are trying to reread what we can read for ourselves. The arbitrators were asked by the government to rule on the port owing it $357 million+. The arbitrator says, case dismissed. No. Not case dismissed, go and rework the numbers, reconsider the numbers, look at it again. No. No. Case dismissed. No $357.44 million owed. No. The Port Authority said, well, you know, we want you to look at this with respect to licensing, this with respect to immigration, that with respect to, we need to, you, the government owes us $1 billion and blah, 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 blah. And the arbitrator said, no, dismissed. Not so. But they really should do your bylaws, environmental bylaws. That should be done. Then the arbitrator said, go and discuss amongst yourselves and come back to me on the issue of the damages and all that kind of stuff. Now, the arbitrators did say you did not ask us to look at the revised law that extended certain provisions of the Hawks-Creek Agreement. You didn't ask us to do that. We are happy to look at that if you would come back to us and ask us to do so. Right? So they did say that. That's it. That's what happened. The government put in a claim, it lost. The court put in some claims, the claims were defeated, except for one. That's what happened. Is Freeport, is the power dynamics between the government and the port changed today? Absolutely not. Not. Nothing has changed. Nothing. So the port, for instance, the tribunal rules, you know, the government does have some say in respect to licensing. So now that the government says that's clear, so what new happens? The government says to the port, no, you can't license anything without my approval. And the port will say, but that's what we're doing now. What's changed? We should have some say in respect to border customs. The arbitrator says, no, you can't. So what's the government say? I collect customs. I make you pay customs duty, except for matters related to the exemptions under the Hawks-Creek Agreement. And the port says, well, that's what happens now. The board says, we should have some say over immigration matters and so forth. And the tribunal says, no, you cannot. And the government says, well, now you have to, if you want a work permit in Freeport, you have to apply to the government bombs. And the port says, well, that's what we do now. Show me something different. The port authority says, no, we're the regulators for power company. The government said, the arbitrator says, no, you're not. And then the government says, no, now power company come. And the port says, well, yeah, now we have to do that because we were waiting on a ruling from the courts, but this came before the ruling of the courts. So now we will have to do that. Okay. The port says, you're supposed to give us some environmental bylaws so that we can be governed by those bylaws in respect to projects here in the Freeport area. And the arbitrator said, yes, that's true. And the government should go ahead and do that. By the way, in respect to whatever damages or costs related to that, you all go ahead and discuss it and come back to us. Mind you, they were supposed to go back to the government on the 8th or something like that. So it'd be interesting to see if they did so or not. Why are people trying to tell me that I can't see that I should be seeing? Why are they trying to tell me that? What is it that we should see? What new thing? What new power does the government of the Bahamas have today that it didn't have before? All power. Can I tell you guys something that you should remember for the rest of your life? All power exercised in a state is derived in law. All power. If you see someone exercising a power, whether that's the department of this or the department of that or the port or the government of the Bahamas or the Royal Bahamas, you ask them, where is your power in law to do that? And if they cannot find one, they do not have that power. You can't just act in the Bahamas. Even selling in the Bahamas, even doing business in the Bahamas, you could only do by law. Right? So nobody does anything and can do anything. And the government, if you're doing something outside of the law, the government knows exactly what to do. Because you're acting against the law. And then the government can kick in with real power. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Oh. Sorry about that call. I'm sorry. I missed that. So if you want to call back, I'm happy to have you call back. I want to repeat this for you. I want to repeat this. A police officer cannot do something. Oh, a police officer should not do something in this country as a police officer, saving and except by the law, what the law authorizes him or her to do. Immigration officer, same thing. Customs officer, same thing. Cabinet minister, same thing. Parliamentarian, same thing. Permanent secretary, same. We are only authorized to do what we are authorized to do in law. On the day you become a cabinet minister, there are turnover notes that you are given. And those turnover notes tells you what powers and authority you have in law, what laws govern your portfolio, if there are any. Why? Because you do not want to act outside the law. The government of the Bahamas one time under the Christie administration gave Guinn some tax exemptions that were not in the law. When it was picked up, Mr. Christie Dawes had to go to the parliament and pass a law to give lawful authority to that exemption. Governments cannot act above the law. The government has to act within the law. Well, if the government has to act within the law, what do you think the Port Authority has to do? What do you think local governments have to do? Everybody has to act by the authority given to them in law. Where does that authority ultimately come from? The supreme law of the country, the Constitution. And where does the authority from the Constitution come from? The sovereign people of the Bahamas. Their collective power. And this is something that we need to ingrain in our citizens. Your governments do not get to just do every and anything they want. They have to do it by law. So yes, the government can do what it wants, but it has to do it by law. If a law does not exist to give it the authority to do so, it has to go to the Parliament of the Bahamas and get the authority to do so. So in a scenario like that, how do you change a power structure, a power dynamic? And I want to say this again. In this administration, in the next administration, if it's the same administration or it's a different administration, don't mind what they say alone. Watch what they do. If you have new power and nothing changes, what does that tell you? If you now have more clarity that gives you new power and nothing changes, what does that tell you? Power is nothing if it isn't exercised. There is no power if you don't and cannot exercise it. Power is the ability to move a thing. Power is the ability to change a thing. Power is ability to set down a thing. Only when, if you want to know how much power an entity has, look at its behavior. Look at its behavior. Look and see what changes when they make a change. Oh, yesterday you were doing this. Today you are no longer doing this because they have told you you can't do it. That power. Not, I have power and nothing changes. I have power and nothing changes. I have power now and nothing changes. I have power now and nothing changes. You have no power. No power. Power must be exercised. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, letting you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the Gold Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package, also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC Games and More. John Bullfine Threads, Alive Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a step. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to join us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. By the way, the parliamentary registrar, the parliamentary commissioner's office says that biometric cards are available, eh? At least according to an article in the Nassau Guardian, says parliamentary commissioner Harrison Thompson yesterday confirmed that biometric voters cards are now available. Thompson told the Nassau Guardian yesterday that cards are currently being issued to voters in West Grand Bahama and New Providence constituencies of Carmichael, Killarney, and St. James, and thus far the distribution process has been going smoothly. I guess that means that they're not being given out in the other constituencies. Is it available for everywhere? He says, we have everyone going to the stadium now, and that might be a problem because you have people coming from St. James or Killarney. Oh, okay. Well, so I was in Toronto recently, in case the parliamentary commissioner's office isn't listening. So I went there, I was visiting with my daughter who's there, and I tried to get my daughter to go and register for the upcoming election. She's in university. And I called the consul general's office there. The young lady who answered the phone was very professional. I told her my daughter was trying to register. And she said, well, we're not set up for that just yet, but check in 2 weeks. And she took the name and contact and so forth. So in case you might be in Canada and you looking to register, they ain't quite ready yet. They might be now. I don't know. You got to call them in advance, because you know that ain't like going right around the corner. So you could call them and find out whether they're ready or not. This text says, I feel you, Mr. Lang. There's nothing new for the government could not do in Freeport. I believe they came up with this idea to put a spin on things. This loss of $357 million has really put a dent in their plans. What a fool believes, eh? This is a wonderful show, says that texter. Let me see here. This text says, okay, you just forwarding me stuff here. I don't know what's that. Um, Okay. I don't think we're gonna ever end up this discussion of who win, what it means, as long as it is in the realm of the political. I think that you are gonna continuously have utterances that project this, suggest this, and so forth. And, you know, I heard Mr. Thompson indicating, you know, the question is now what? Now what? Yeah, now what? Now what? For all sides, now what? Like somebody tell me, someone tell me. So when Mr. Thompson was on, someone sent me a text, and the text was when he was mentioning that the FNM believes that the families should not control things and so forth and so forth. Someone sent me this text. They said, but what does that mean, though? Should they be appointed to the position if they are licensees, or should they be elected to these positions? See, because the devil is in the details, isn't it? First of all, this is what I would like to know, really. Are any of you clear on what the government or the opposition wants the Grand Bahama Port Authority situation to look like? Anyone clear? Mr. Thompson says should not be in control. He said, I listened, he said the licensees should be in control. Why? The licensees of the port are both foreigners and Bahamians. He says because the licensees are capable. Why are they capable? Why are the licensees capable of governing Freeport? Why? Says who? Now, what is true is, if the licensees had a vote in who sat on the board of the port, and yeah, they could have a say in that matter. I'm not sure they don't today, but they could say, have a say in that matter. I know the government has a say. I know the government does and has had a say in who that is. I can tell you all this. When the Port Authority is considering who would be its chairman, they are mindful of what the government would think about that chairman. Check it out. When Hannes Babak was the chairman of the Port Authority, check out when he got appointed. Check it out. Check it out. When Julian Francis was the chairman, check out who was in government. Check it out. Albert Miller was the president and chairman for some time. But most of that was under the Ingram era and had a great working relationship. You check it out. So like, what do they want? What is it that the government, what is it that the government wants? Like, what does it want? When the government wants something to change in Freeport, the opposition says something must change in Freeport. What is it? What is it? What is it? The Port Authority doesn't own the airport anymore. The Port Authority doesn't own the power company anymore. The Port Authority doesn't own the sanitation company anymore. The Port Authority doesn't own the harbor. The Port Authority doesn't, not majority, the Port Authority owns 50% of the land development company. The Port Authority is the licensor of things. Not because it's government, but because the land it is on is owned by itself. And so it licenses people to operate in that area. Well, it sells the land to. And it has that overarching responsibility over the Freeport, Hospital Creek area. What does the government want? What does the opposition want? Beyond the platitudes and the sound bites, what is it that they want? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi,
go ahead, caller.
That's Brother Lang.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I'm cool. I'm good. About this town hall meeting last night,
mm-hmm.
You're a former politician. Once a politician, always a politician. So you're a politician. We are in the political season. If you know the prime minister is coming into an audience, the leader of the opposition is coming into an audience, what do you expect will happen sometime in that gathering? You don't think you'll have some type of political something going on? Come on, let's be real with it now.
I do believe so. Quite frankly, if it were me, I would not have gone.
Okay, now let me say this. That was advertised. I heard it advertised. It ain't like somebody called two people this morning and said, we're having a town hall meeting this evening. That was advertised from last week, Friday. I was hearing about it. Now, if the governing party outmaneuver the opposition in Grand Bahama, that's on them. If me and you running in a race and I can get my people out and you can't get your people out, you now need to pull back and see what you're doing wrong
No. With the greatest respect, let me ask you a question. Who hosted the town hall meeting?
I thought it was hosted by the Port Authority.
No, sir. See, you saw the flyer from way back. But you had the flyer though. Did you see the flyer?
It was advertised that they're having a town hall meeting in Grand Bahama.
But I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a question. Did you see the flyer?
No, sir. I tell you, I'm legally blind now. I can't see.
Okay. Okay. So somebody told. Nobody told you
I
who
heard
was hosting
that they were
it.
Having a town hall meeting.
And no one told you who was hosting it.
Who hosted the meeting? The government?
We don't know. Nobody knows.
All right, sir. So that means all of us in the same position. The FNM,
absolutely.
The PLB, and
now,
the COI. Nobody
knows
who hosted
it. No. You think the government don't know who hosted the meeting? You think the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, Mr. Brad Davis, a shrewd man, is going to go to a meeting hosted by somebody he don't know?
But what I'm saying, you don't think Mr. Pindad knew who was hosting it?
He did not, because when I spoke to him on one occasion, and he was saying the government was having a meeting.
But I don't think that was done by the government. I heard that the Prime Minister was invited.
Yeah.
By some people. That's what I understand. He was invited. But
we don't know. We don't know who hosted. We don't know who
hosted. The Prime Minister was invited to the town hall meeting in Grand Bahama.
We don't know who hosted it.
If the Prime Minister could get all his people, people always bragging about Grand Bahama as the FNM town.
No, but.
And they could have got it numbered like that. They need to re-scare. If that's
okay,
any indication that the PLB can get their people out.
So you're trying to have a meeting where you're trying to give out information and what is important is you get your people out. So it's really a political meeting is what
no,
you're saying.
It's not, sir.
Why is it important to get your people out? Why is it not? The invitation went out to the grandmama community. Should they not have come out anyways?
They should have come out, but they didn't come out. He didn't get his people out. That's between him and them. Now he needs to find out why they didn't come out. All this machinery in Grand Bahama.
I got you. I got you, brother. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you calling. This text says, great show, Mr. Lang. This is all soap opera and theatrical drama. The government is trying to show the Grand Bahama people they are on their side fighting for them against the big bad Port Authority. Old cannot on a stick trick. The old carrot on a stick trick. Grand Bahamians are very aware nothing has changed. There is no clarity that the government intends to do now at this point. Is there going to be a board? Are the two families to be ousted? What is going to happen now? Can someone please clarify? This text of Mr. Lang, we know who hosted the rally. I mean, meeting. Shake my head. I was telling you all that you ever know maybe children, and you had somebody who, because they cover their eyes, they believe nobody could see them. this text says, good afternoon, Zhivago. I was very disappointed by the lack of respect which was shown to Mr. Pintad. As a potential leader of this country, we must learn how to separate politics and intelligently analyze if information given to us seems plausible. Well, I can tell you one thing. It would be great to be able to have respect and regard everywhere you go. I suspect that if a PLP leader goes into a meeting where there are lots of FNM persons, if they are not in agreement, there might be some ruckus and stuff like that too. So for me, I put myself in that situation because, you know, especially leading up to an election. This text says, the prime minister said, the government said to the arbitrator that the sum of $357 million might not be what's owed. They would expect whatever amount the port thought it owed. That was embarrassing to me. Yeah, that's crazy talk. I don't know if he said that, but I don't know. They said, Mr. Lang, the government hasn't done anything in East or West Grand Bahama in years. Thank God for the Port Authority. This is what I find intriguing is that the FNM, which was the government last time, before the Davis administration, Freeport, East Grand Bahama, West Grand Bahama, in which they were in charge, squat, nothing, zilch done. But the big bad Port Authority, but the thing you were in charge of, squat, zilch, nothing. You can do anything you want to do down there. You don't need the port to do anything down there. You can have all kind of investment, all kind of development. People driving from Freeport to go to West End and East Grand Bahama, just like they go from East and West Grand Bahama to come to Freeport. Zilch, nothing. That's under the FNM. BLP come, same thing, zilch, nothing. But the port is the problem. 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 Saudi Lutra, booming. Booming Saudi Lutra. Oh, man. It says, it is a lie about it being advertised, and he heard it. It was not on the radio. The flyer by Brave on Sunday, this person says, the flyer before didn't say who hosted it. No one to date has said who was hosting it. No one. The PM came to an event and didn't know who invited him. At the meeting, PLP only was allowed in the hall via the side door from 6 p.m. Then at 7 p.m., they allowed people in. 75% of the seats was taken when the door opened and all the PLPs were sitting. So the government said that he offered to buy the GBPA, but they said no, so he went to arbitration. Buy with what money? This text says, wow, that's a powerful point you just made about the wider state of Grand Bahama. That's the biggest argument against the FNM administration, the PLP administration, biggest argument when they talk about the port. Look at Freeport compared to East and West Grand Bahama. Just look at it. Look at the cleanliness compared to Nassau. Look at Freeport today compared to East and West Grand Bahama. And the complaint is the Port Authority is defunct. Someone make that make sense to me. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, call. We're listening to you.
Yeah, Mr. Lang, what's up? Okay.
Wait there, man.
Listen, let me make this real quick. First of all, it's hard for me to believe that the leader of the opposition didn't know what was going on and who was actually behind the thing. Let me tell you why I say that. It then means that he's not very perceptive. Because if you sit down and think about who were going to be on the panel and this and whatnot and all the other things, you had to have had some kind of inclination
as it relates to how things were going.
Well, but he did. That's why the government was having a meeting. He said the government was having a meeting. Like,
so he literally walked in the lion's den. Whatever he would have said, he should have known would have been the reaction. I think everything was going well for him until he started talking about working, partnering with the Port Authority and not trying to, as you say, make how things are going to be different. What's going to be different? And I think, and I observed it, I watched it. And literally, after he started talking and sounded as though he was the poster child for the Port Authority, everything just went opposite. And the reason why I said that, I even saw, what's the guy named? He normally comments a lot on these talk shows. I saw him, and basically the only thing that he asked about was the customs duty policies as it relates to what the government, some case or some issue with customs duty and whatnot. I literally thought he was coming with something so prolific, so mind-boggling that, you know, because I've always heard him on these talk shows, and literally the only thing he was talking about or he asked about was customs duty and something like that. I think a lot of them last night was somewhat afraid to say anything after the reaction the leader received. But I, like I said, if it were me, I wasn't dying. I might as well tell you, because I already know what to be like. And like I said, there is no way that, and even if the roles were reversed, even the opposition, I wasn't going, because I knew exactly how that was going to turn out. And I think the forum of where it was, and he went up there and he started, he started off excellent. But as soon as he said what he said about the Port Authority and whatnot, everything went haywire. So they were listening. But until he mentioned that situation with the Port Authority and sound like he was, oh, Port Authority is great, this is that, blah, blah, we need to do this.
But hold on. I agree with you 100% that is what happened or could have happened or what have you, right? But let me ask you a question, though. Forget the meeting last night.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a government of the Bahamas, would you say publicly to the public, I'm going to work against the port? Or you'd say, we have to work together?
Oh, no. I would never say that, you should say you shouldn't work along with them. Obviously, both sides of the fence have to work along, whether opposition or government.
Right.
That's not my point. Right. My point was simply, but I think he could have stayed
friendly. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%, brother. Because you know and I know today, and this didn't just happen. Being a friend of the port is not being a friend of people. Even when you're posturing that you are being professional and you want to be, I'm sorry, the Port Authority is far too unpopular in certain respects for any political perception of alliance to be helpful in your cause.
That's what I'm saying. And Kwesi came up. From what I noticed, they wasn't really booing Kwesi or anything of that nature, because Kwesi came from a different angle, and they hear what he had to say. I mean, there was a bit of noise, but they heard what he had to say, and Kwesi said what he had to say, and that was Daily Road to know he went about his business. So,
I appreciate you calling, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. Be listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, how you doing?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
Yeah, I need to give him a little history there, because me and a couple of my buddies, some were talking about the tongue. And the gentleman who the prime minister called Giant, who was he?
Giant?
Yeah, Giant. Are you thinking
he's saying
term under the FNM administration?
In the room? I don't know who that was.
Dark with an afro-type. You didn't watch it last night?
No, I didn't see all of it, so I don't know who that is. No, I don't know.
Oh, because I think he said he served under the FNM. I mean, the Ingram administration.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
One term or two terms.
Oh, David Thompson. Oh, David.
They called him the giant or something like that.
Yeah, because they used to call him the giant slayer, because in the by-election in 1991. He won against the whole government of the Bahamas, Sir Lyndon and them. So they used to call him back then David versus Goliath, the Giant Slayer.
Oh, okay, okay. You might he was strong last night.
Yeah, well, David Thompson ain't easy. You know, David knows how to make his point.
He was fighting with the government a little bit, but, you know, I just need to know that history now.
Okay.
He served under the Ingram administration twice.
He was a minister of state under Ingram, yes.
Twice? Two times?
No, once.
Oh, once. Okay. All right, then. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. No problem. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, Shivago Lang. I don't have to guess what happened. I was there. From the minute the opposition went up, the booing started. It was orchestrated. The booing started all the way through. When David Thompson went crazy, it wasn't no noise. The room was silent until they began to speak. The mics were turned on. If you look at the time from when they started to speak, you see they began to have problems with the mic because it was said, turn on the mic or turn off the mic. When I went there, I had a list of questions. As soon as I made my statement and asked my question, when I turned around for the mic was gone. Okay? It was gone, so I couldn't get to continue. That's why if you could watch the video, you'll see me standing up there with the prime minister speaking to me, and I'm speaking to this prime minister back, and there is no mic because it was taken away from me. Okay? So, and it's the same thing with the others in the room. Even after the mic was taken away from me, I asked the person who was doing it, I wasn't finished. She said, yeah, you are finished. And then right after that, they brought the mic back for the other person, the prime minister. I got to give the prime minister some praise, and they brought the mic back.
Listen, Alan, when I saw the setup of the meeting, listen, if y'all want me to be a liar and pretend like I don't think what I think, I thought this is a pro-government forum. That's all I meant. Pro-government forum.
No, it was, but fact was...
But hold on. And then if I heard some of the moderator...
It started as, over the press... It started over the PLC rally slogans and stuff.
Yeah, as did others.
Podcast newscaster. So that set the theme. But so the meeting went fine until it was time when they had decided that they were not going to have anybody from the floor interrupt the flow. And so, in fact, the way the program was scheduled, I understood that even after that he said thanks, anybody who would speak with the prime minister would have had to speak after, would have been able to give a rebuttal after Pintad. But it got out of hand that he never even got to that. It went straight to, okay, we have to end the meeting because the operas in the room, and you know one of them very, very well. You know who she is, and you know issue with legal and everything else. And so it was beautifully orchestrated. But the fact that everybody wanted to be there. Now, when they started to say that Pintad says something with the Port Authority, Pintad says he was speaking about the Hawksville Creek Agreement, and the fact that Mr. Davis now had the same position that we must work together. And remember, if you listen to what Mr. Davis said, is that we need the people, the stakeholders in Freeport at the table. It's something that Mr. Pintad was asking before. And so for people who say they heard, I asked them, it's on the movie group, it's on the prime minister page, it's on a couple other pages, it's on my page. You don't have to guess about what happened at that meeting. It's clear, and it's there for them to see and even time as to what happened. If you thought you saw what you thought, whatever, I say to you, go watch it again. It is right there.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us. I'm sorry some of you... if time permits, I'll read them tomorrow because some of them are interesting. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Y'all have a fantastic afternoon.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255. 267.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.